Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Horticulture Week podcast. I'm Matthew Appleby. This week's podcast is about the creation of the John Westumlin Rose, and it's believed to be the first rose named after an ethnic minority Briton. A campaign for the rose followed an article by We Too Built Britain's Zara Zaidi in Horticulture Week last year, and this has created a groundswell of support for the new rose. I caught up with Zara and Harkness Rose's David White to discuss the significance of the rose and the story of John Westumlin himself. I'm today with David White and Zara Zaidi talking about the John Westumlin Rose. Now, Zara, is that how you pronounce it?
Almost. You're almost there. John Westumlin.
David, what is the rose for? What's it about?
So for us, the rose is about inclusivity. It's about actually creating a rose that anybody can actually grow. It's about bringing people together. It's about bringing the whole community together in terms of getting involved in gardening. And it's about making sure that people understand it's gardening isn't just for the sort of white middle class, effectively. It's to actually bring everybody in. And actually, the whole point about this rose is we wanted to create a rose that anybody can grow. You can grow it in a pot, you know, if you've got a big garden, if you've got a small garden, if you've just got a patio, you can grow this rose anywhere.
Amazing. And Zara, from your point of view, what is this rose about?
Well, I grew up in Wales until I was 16. And, you know, I am of ethnic minority heritage. And I would look around. Clearly, I went to school like everybody else, but I did sort of try and discover a bit about my heritage and the sort of heritage of people who'd come to Wales from different countries. And I knew about John's story. And what resonated with me was that he was the first well-recorded black man in North Wales. He married Margaret Griffith, and together they were probably the first interracial marriage. But the main thing is their story survived because it was told by the community. You know, he found love and a life in Wales, and the story just resonated me.
Yeah,
and I felt it needed to be wider known.
David, tell me a bit about the breeding behind the rose. It's yellow, I can tell you that. What else can you tell us?
Okay, so I'd like to take just a little bit of a step back. So Harkness Roses, about 15 years ago, started a completely new process. So when we breed roses, we plant them out in the fields and we don't spray them with any form of fungicide at all. We also don't remove any roses that get any sort of fungal disease. So the idea is that after 7 years, the roses that we select have been through a really tough process, and the roses that come out of the other end of it, we know are absolutely nailed on top quality varieties. And from an initial probably 40,000 seedlings that we have, 7 years later, we'll select no more than three roses out of those 40,000 seedlings. So this rose has been through, it's actually been through 8 years worth of testing. It's a compact sort of floribunda shrub. It's got a very citrus fragrance. It's incredibly healthy, very repeat flowering. It flowers very early. It actually, it starts in late May, and it will flower right the way through to the first frosts. It's suitable for growing in pots. It's suitable for growing in beds. It's suitable for growing in borders. And actually, it's just a really good rose. And it was really important for us. We think this is a really important story. We think it's a really important thing for us to be involved in. And the one thing that we wanted to make sure that we gave it a quality of rose that would actually match the interest of the story.
So we've heard about how good the rose is, but what do you hope it's going to achieve, Zara?
I think the representation element matters. To our knowledge, there's never been a rose named after an ethnic minority of Britain. And often, when you do these sort of national campaigns for firsts, it's often not one of the nations, like Scotland or Wales. And here you have a Welshman. And a Welshman who was a gardener, who was a florist in the original sense, who loved to grow flowers. And isn't it lovely that in reaching out and trying to make gardening more inclusive, you've got someone who you know found solace in gardening, like so many of us have during the pandemic.
Now, David, you're quite passionate about the roses' connection with community gardening. And what's that?
I think as a business, we've become quite isolated over the last 18 months. So we do Zoom meetings, we do Teams meetings, we've stopped going out to meet people. Our garden centres were closed for 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. So we were delivering to people online. And actually, we lost that connection. And I think there's, you know, I'm quite lucky. I live in the countryside, I've got a garden. There's lots of people around who don't have access to that. And they don't have access. And during lockdown, there was lots of people who really struggled with their mental health because they were living in flats, they were living in... And the lack of community engagement in gardening is really worrying. And what happened with this rose, it took on a bigger significance for us because it actually suddenly made me realise that we wanted to be involved in a wider community project in terms of actually just getting people gardening. It doesn't matter what your background is, what your ability is. Actually, it's about discovering the joy of just touching the earth.
Zara, what about the public impact this rose is going to make? Because I think it's going to be pretty big.
I think it will be. And also, when we were thinking about the significance of this, I talked to Hannah, Frankie, David at Harkness, and we wanted to say that this rose is almost a gift. It's a sign, it's a symbol for friendship, love, and community, because that is what John's story represented. And it's just to try and bring people together. And also it's almost a homage to the gardening community that I know and love, that are so communal. We know that, you know, outdoor activities, gardening can be so good for your mental health. We saw that during the pandemic. And we just want to harness that a bit. And through this rose and its message, get more people involved in gardening, but also get gardening out there. You know, I was talking to politicians, I said, you never think about these sort of activities when it comes to social cohesion. As David said just now, you know, planting something in the soil that you created, that really connects you to place. And we all need a sense of belonging. And, you know, I hope this brings people together. Mm-hmm. And we need more kindness in this world. We need that symbol of friendship and community.
We do indeed. Horticulture Week had a minor involvement. Can you tell us what Horticulture Week's involvement is?
It wouldn't have happened without Horticulture Week. And a certain Matt Appleby, do you know who he is? Well, so I am... it's a long story, but I randomly was talking to a friend of mine at, 2 a.m. in the morning on Twitter DM. And I said, look, I'm hearing all these stories about lack of inclusion in gardening, lack of diversity, racism in gardening and countryside, stories on why I think minority communities do not like gardening. And I said, I just want to tell the story of all the history that has been inclusive that we may not remember. And I was telling my friend, I said, there's a Welsh gardener that I've always loved his story. Should I approach a journalist? And this certain Matt Appleby took the story the next morning because I wrote it in the middle of the night, published it, and then it just took a life of its own. You saw it was shared by people. People were calling for a rose for John, and then it just, you know, before we knew it, we had a campaign.
No, you've certainly been a force of nature getting it out and about there. So, David, how many do you think you can grow? What your sort of numbers are there out there?
So, just before I answer that question, one thing that it's very rare that I get an email that just really excites me and makes me really interesting. And I got the email that said, would you mind doing a rose? And I think my answer was really simple. It was yes. And that was it. I think it was just, hi, yes, kind regards, that, because it was such a fascinating story. So this variety, we've actually got, for autumn this year, we've got about 2,900 ready for sales. It'll be ready for dispatch, probably mid-November. For next summer, we're producing some from cuttings, so we'll have another batch ready for the Chelsea Flower Show, because our plan is that whilst we're launching it now, we're going to introduce it again at the Chelsea Flower Show in May next year, so it'll be a key part of our Chelsea exhibit. And then for next autumn time, so for the production that we've done this summer, we will have, depending on the grade output, we'll have somewhere between 12,000 and 15,000 available for autumn 2022, spring 2023. And I've already spoken to I've got two really good sales guys who deal with independent garden centres, and I've already spoken to them, and they are really excited about getting behind the project and actually making it available through the 250 garden centres that we deal with throughout the UK from autumn 22 onwards.
Fantastic. One final word from you, Zara. Can you sort of sum up the whole experience you've had in the world of horticulture?
Oh, it's been joyous. It's such a welcoming community. And I think my highlight was meeting David and the team at Chelsea Flower Show. And I tell you what, this campaign shows that we take each other for granted. Sometimes you just have to ask. Sometimes you just have to sort of build these connections and do things together. Because we live in difficult times, we live in polarized times, but we each, as individuals or within our groups, have the power to change our immediate environment. And the horticulture community, particularly led by Harkness, have just embraced this. Thanks to a certain editor called Matt Appleby. I look forward to doing more.
Make sure you never miss a Horticulture Week podcast. Subscribe to or follow Hort Week podcast via Apple iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. And once again, thank you and goodbye till the next time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.